Amen. Good morning. Good to see y'all. If you have a Bible, please turn to Exodus chapter 20 as we continue a series on the Ten Commandments. The children of Israel are gathered around Mount Sinai. God has manifested his powerful presence in fire and smoke and trumpet and earthquake. And then he speaks from the fire. God speaks to the people gathered there, the people that he's redeemed from Egypt. And he is brought through the wilderness, and now they're at this sacred mountain where he manifests his presence. Moses being the mediator, going back and forth between God and the people. And now God speaks audibly to the people. And he told them they were to have no other gods before him, that they were not to make any graven images, that they were not to take his name in vain. And then he speaks these words about A Sabbath day. I'll admit that I was not really looking forward to talking about this particular text today because there's a lot of different opinions about the Sabbath day. Does it apply to us today? Is it still for us? Is it the way it was in Israel? Is that applied to the church today? Is it completely passed away? What does Sunday or the Lord's Day have to do with the Sabbath? Is it the same thing? Is it our Sabbath? And there are many different opinions, lots of arguments. I will say that I know things have changed from the time that I grew up as far as the respect that people had both in the church and society for what we call the Lord's Day, where we gather together and worship the Lord as a church. I can remember a time when they would never have a sporting event, a youth sporting event on Sunday. Hey, guess what? They let us out early from football practice on Wednesday so that we could go to Wednesday night church. But now they have soccer and baseball and football and all that kind of stuff on Sunday. Parents have to make a choice whether or not they're going to gather together and worship the Lord with the body of Christ, or they're going to let their children be engaged in those activities, and I think teach their kids, maybe inadvertently, teach their kids what is really important in life, in their opinion. That's my opinion. But anyway, so things have certainly changed. The views of Christians and church members have changed, and certainly the views of society have changed. I remember also when I worked at Safeway, we couldn't sell beer till after 12 o'clock. I guess they didn't want anybody coming into church drunk, but they still could, you know, and believe me, I've seen that too, unfortunately. But they had blue laws. They had laws where some stores weren't even opened, you know, because society had some respect for this day that was set apart to the worship of God and honoring Jesus Christ. So we have to admit that attitudes have changed. And the times have certainly changed. But what does the Word of God say, and how does this apply to us? God spoke these words directly to the people. It was very important to the children of Israel. So we're going to kind of try to see what God said and then maybe see what he might be saying to us through this today, to see what Jesus says about it, see what the New Testament, the epistles say about it a little bit, and find out what this means to us today. And so we begin in verse 8. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you humbly. We come before this word needing your enlightenment, needing your voice to speak through the words that are written on this page, inspired by your Holy Spirit, that you might speak to our hearts. And God, I pray the end result will be that we have a hunger for you, that we're drawn to you, that we desire to obey you, that we are controlled by you. And I ask that you would do this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. Amen. So we come to the Sabbath, and I want us to just kind of break down what he says here. Three things about the Sabbath. The first thing is it's a command to remember. A command to remember. He tells the people, remember this particular day. Now, by the way, these first four commands have to do with God, have to do with worshiping God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. And now he's telling them to honor God by remembering this special day, the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day. What does that word mean, Sabbath? It's pronounced in the Hebrew Shabbat, and it actually means to cease or desist. To cease or desist, to rest. That's contained in the very word itself. Remember this day of rest, he is saying. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, if God is just now speaking this commandment, telling them to remember the Sabbath day, what does he mean by saying remember? To me, that says they had some reference in their minds to what the Sabbath day was already. They must have known that God rested after creating 6 days. The Bible says 6 days. And after 6 days, it says that God rested and God blessed that day. I believe that must have been passed down to the people orally. They must have known that. We know Moses wrote the Pentateuch, but I believe that these things were known amongst the Israelites and taught. They were very big on oral tradition and sharing these spiritual truths orally. And so I think probably they knew about that. They likely knew something about the creation story. So he says, remember this Sabbath day, this day that God entered into his rest after creating. And then God kind of taught them when he was feeding them with manna. Remember when the manna was falling out of heaven? God said, you can gather manna for 6 days. And he said on that last day, on the sixth day, he says, gather double. If they gathered double any of those first 6 days, remember, the manna would rot and worms would get in and they couldn't eat. And some of them tried that, you know. And so they had putrefied manna. God wouldn't let them do that. He didn't want them to hoard and be greedy and all that. But on that sixth day, he said, go ahead and collect double, because the next day is a Sabbath day. A Sabbath day unto the Lord. The next day is a day of rest. It's a holy day. So he was preparing them for what he was about to tell them, about to command them about honoring this Sabbath day. So they knew something about it. And he says, I want you to remember it. I want you to remember this day. This is my day, God is saying. It's called a Sabbath day unto the Lord. It's his day, but it's for them. We'll see in just a minute. It's for them. It's for their benefit, but it's God's day. And he says, I want you to remember that. Another reason I think he'd have to tell us to remember is because we tend to get busy and forget, don't we? We tend to forget God. We get busy with the things of this world, with the things of this life, and they're so pressing upon us, the demands of our schedule, whether we're at work or school or whatever. And some of y'all are done with work and school, and maybe you're not as busy as others of us are. But you know how we can forget the Lord, how easy it is to kind of live. Sometimes we kind of live as practical atheists. And it's only whenever we kind of feel our need that we begin to think about God. And we begin to turn to God. But God knows that. He knows what we're like. That's one of the reasons he instituted something like this. He knows our frame, that we're dust, doesn't he? He knows we're weak and we're easily distracted and we get our priorities all out of whack. So he says, I want you to remember me. When he's saying, remember this day, he's saying, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember who I am. I want you to remember that your life is not all about your work. Your life is all about me. I want you to pause and remember that. I want you to get things in order again. We need a day. I think we need a day, don't we, that's dedicated to the Lord to get us back in line and to get our priorities back in order. So he said, remember this day. And he said, hallow this day. Hallow this day. And the word hallow, you remember when we were doing the Lord's Prayer, that's how the Lord's Prayer starts, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That means may your name be sacred. Here he says, let this day be a sacred day. Sacred, holy. Holy meaning set apart. Different from all the other days. When we say God is holy, we're not just saying that God is pure. We're saying God is wholly other than. He's wholly other than all of his creatures. And he's wholly other than humanity, set apart by his holiness and all of his divine attributes. And so he's saying this day, like our God, like the God that we worship, this day is to be, it's not to be like the other 6 days. The seventh day is to be different. We're to make it different. We're to see it in a different way. We're to observe it in a different way. This Sabbath day that God instituted for the people. Remember the Sabbath day. Now, in a minute, I'm going to tell you that I don't think we're under the law of the Sabbath, but the Bible does have things to say about special day for believers, for the church, doesn't it? That verse, I know that's everybody here's favorite verse in Hebrews chapter 10. It's every preacher's favorite verse. Unfortunately, I don't think it's all the people's favorite verse, but it's, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." Y'all know that one? Have I ever quoted that? "Which is the custom or the habit of some." I say, it's the habit of too many. But he says, don't forsake it. Come together. He said, even now, as we see the day approaching, why are we to do that? He said, so that we can provoke one another unto love and good works. We need each other. We need each other to be what God calls us to be. Did you know that? Church isn't just about coming together and having a, you know, 3 points and a few songs that excite you. It's about coming together as the body of Christ and spurring one another on to love and good works, encouraging each other, holding each other accountable, and helping each other be what God has called us to be. We need to come together, in other words, is what the Bible teaches. And so, yeah, in a minute I'm going to say, we're not under the law of the Sabbath. I'm a good dispensationalist, but you can look that up after the service. But anyway, God set apart this special day. And so he says it's a call to remember. And then he tells them how they're to remember. Here are the requirements. He says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Here's the requirements. He says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work. In it you shall do no work. Now, we have a couple days, typically, a couple days where we don't have to do any work. We have Saturday and then Sunday for most people. A lot of people get 2 days off. But they only had 1 day off. 1 day off. Oh, and by the way, who came up with this 6-day work week? God! So I think he knows best, don't you? But he said, 6 days you shall labor and you shall do all your work. So God's not just commanding us to rest. I think implicit in this is also a command to work and to be productive. God is pleased when we work. And by the way, if it's a honest way to make a living and not an immoral way to make a living, and God's given you that job, that's God's gift to you. It's God's calling to you. It's where he has you right now anyway. And he wants you to do that with all your might. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 3, he says, you're actually doing it for him. We're supposed to, our work should be sanctified, whatever it is, by the fact that we're not just doing it for the boss that's over us, but we're doing it for our ultimate boss, who is Jesus Christ. We're doing it for him. He wants us to work and be productive. Now, we have a lot of retired people in here, and you know what? I think he wants you to be productive too. I think that's God's plan. That doesn't mean you have to go get you a job or anything, but there are things you can do. We have ladies that come up, they're all the time up here bringing clothes and making me work because I got to carry some of them upstairs sometimes. But they're being productive. They're working. They're serving the Lord. As a matter of fact, when you're retired, you have more time to serve the Lord. You have time to go visit people. You have time to write people letters. You have time to call people. You have time to encourage people. You know, you can be busy doing something. And then whatever, if we work, we're to give ourselves to that like we're giving ourselves to the Lord. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, he's not just going to say, what did you do as a member of Ridgely Baptist Church or whatever church you're a part of? I think a big part of what we're evaluated for at the judgment seat of Christ is, how did you work? How did you do the job that I gave you to do? How did you do that with all your might? Did you do that and really earn that paycheck that you were doing, that you were earning? Because what we do unto him. Not with eye service, Paul says in Ephesians, not with eye service as men pleasers, but to please the Lord, our real master. And so implicit in this command is work. We got to work. But then he says that seventh day, after 6 days, you can stop working. Now, this was a huge blessing. This would have been a huge blessing to the Israelites because they came out of Egypt, and the week in Egypt was 10 days, and there were no days off. There was no day of rest for them. They were slaves. They had to work every day, and they were in bondage, and they were mistreated. And God is showing them just how gracious he is, and he's saying, you're going to work for 6 days, and then you're going to have a day of rest where you're not working at all. This is how you keep it holy. This is one of the main features of this day being different or holy or sacred compared to the other 6 days. You're not going to do any labor at all. You're not going to do any work. I don't know about you, but that sounds good to me, doesn't it, you? Not do anything. Well, he doesn't say lay around and watch TV, by the way. That's not what he's saying here. He's saying, but your normal activity, that normal work, he said, that's to cease and desist on that day. That's what's going to make this day holy. That's what's going to hallow this day. Your work will cease. And there's probably a lot of reasons why God did that, but one obvious reason, just one psychological reason, if I can introduce that into the discussion, is that if all we do is work, and I feel this happening to me because I volunteer to do extra things on my time off, and I can be quite honest with you here, you can feel yourself kind of starting to get drained, and you know, you can burn out. I used to laugh when I heard people talk about ministerial burnout, and I'm like, what a bunch of wimps. I'm burned out, you know, and I'd say, you don't burn out when the grace of God is moving through. You don't burn out. You know what? God said work 6 days and cease one day because, you know what? God knew that we can burn out. You got to stop. There has to be a day when we stop and cease. I don't know how this got into my head, but I don't want to blame my parents because my dad listens to these sermons, but he's at work. My dad can't stop working, you know. He's retired. He's been retired, and so he has to have a project going. And if you go look at their backyard, there's this elaborate deck in the backyard. It's not just a deck. There's an upper deck. He calls it the poop deck. And you know, he's always doing. There's some huge project. Some concrete needs to be done. Something because he can't stop. He can't stop working. So I think I grew up thinking that if you're idle, if you're not doing something, then it's immoral almost. You know, you're kind of a wretch, you're a slug, you know, if you're not working on something. And so some of us have a hard time stopping because we think, I'm not productive. And maybe we get our sense of well-being out of thinking that we're productive people. I think that's part of where people get that. But maybe we so overemphasize that sometimes that we won't stop. God says, stop. There needs to be a day when you stop. Some people won't stop because they want to make more money. If I stop, I can't. I got to make money. I got to work overtime. I've got to do this because I need more money so that I can feel secure. But God says, trust me and stop. If you do what I say, he says, I'll take care of you, right? So faith is introduced into this, right? Faith. You've got to be able to stop. Just that one day, just stop. Let that day be different. Let that day be sacred. We read elsewhere in the Bible, in Leviticus and in the Psalms, that it was not just a day to stop working, as wonderful as that is, but it was also a day to worship. There were sacrifices. There were special sacrifices, burnt offering made on Sabbath in the temple. So God didn't just want them to stop, but he wanted them to reflect and connect with him and think on him and worship him. Don't we need that? Don't we, even though we're not under the law of the Sabbath. People that think they observe the Sabbath today, like there are churches that still think that they observe the Sabbath. And by the way, the Sabbath was from 6 o'clock in the evening or from sundown on Friday to sundown on Saturday. And there are churches that say they observe the Sabbath. Well, they don't observe the Sabbath. Because if you observe the Sabbath, do you know what happens if you break the Sabbath, by the way, according to Exodus chapter 31? If you break the Sabbath, you get stoned. And I'm talking about stoned to death. Get killed for breaking the Sabbath. God was really serious. He was really serious about us stopping and taking a day of rest, wasn't he? Or the children of Israel. He was that serious about it. Why was he so serious about it? He was very serious about it because he says in Exodus chapter 31, and you can look this up. I forgot the exact verse number, but you can look it up on your own. He said that this is a sign. It's a sign of the covenant between him and his people. The Sabbath, just like circumcision, the Sabbath was a sign of his relationship with his people. It was a sign that he had sanctified and set apart the children of Israel unto himself. He made this a sign of the covenant. So it's not just a day to stop working. It's a day to start reflecting on and worshiping the Lord. G. Campbell Morgan said, the command to work and the command to rest and to observe the Sabbath, he said, those commands are, they go together. He said, because if you're not working and you're not occupying yourself with the work of the Lord, whatever it is that he has you to do, he says, then you're really not fit for the Sabbath. You're really not ready and prepared for the Sabbath. And then he says, the Sabbath, that day of rest and reflection and worship of God, he said, that prepares you to work. That prepares you to be the kind, coming in contact with a righteous God and a loving God prepares you to see your work and your life in the way that you should see it, to see what's righteous and unrighteous. Having remembered God and been connected with God, it changes everything. And I think he's right. I think he's right. There's a relationship between those two things. And so the Sabbath, the way that the Sabbath is observed, the way that this day is hallowed, is that activity, work, ceases. It's a day of rest and a day to reflect on God, a day to worship God, a day to be recharged. I hope that's what you experience when you come to this church. When you gather together in fellowship with other believers and we sing and worship and we encourage one another and the Word of God is preached, I hope that your batteries, your spiritual batteries, get charged. I hope that when you come together, I hope that when you miss, that you really miss it. And you really feel the dryness. Now, the truth of the matter is there's some people that come and they come for different reasons. And maybe you're not even born again. Maybe you don't get recharged and you don't get anything out of it because your spirit really isn't alive to the things that we're talking about, the things that we do here. In that case, for people like that, they need to examine themselves spiritually and see where they are with the Lord. The Bible says, examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. Examine yourself and see if you're in the faith. I think that's an important thing for people to do and for people to know. Only God knows the heart of any individual. But we need this. God knew it, and so God established it. And although we may not be under this law, I think that that principle remains. There's a principle there that we need to cease our labor, and we need to reflect on the Lord and worship him and fellowship with other believers around Jesus Christ. Now, notice that he says in verse 10, he says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. And then, you see, he knew that people might say, well, okay, I'm not going to do any work, but hey, son, come here. I'm going to the temple today, or I'm going to the tabernacle today, but I want you to go plow that field. No, he says, the son can't do it. Oh, well, how about my daughter? Can I get my daughter to do it? No, your daughter. How about my slave? How about my male servant? No, he gets the rest too. Okay, how about the female servant? She can't do it. Well, I can get that ox over there to thresh the grain. I bet I could you know, stick a carrot in front of his face or something like that. And he, no, even the ox has to be still on that day. Well, how about those illegal aliens or what? How about those strangers? Can I get them to do something? No. Even the strangers within your gates. Everybody gets a break. There again we see God's graciousness. Everybody gets to cease and desist from their work and their labor and focus on God. So we have this command to remember. We have the requirements to rest. And then in verse 11 we have the reason that's given. In verse 11 he gives us the reason or the rationale for this command. For he says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. He's quoting Genesis chapter 2. That's a reference to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. And he's talking about what God did after he created. Now, it says that God rested. Do you think that God needed rest? You know, the Bible says God neither slumbers nor sleeps. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. He didn't need to rest, but he was resting in his finished work. And he let us know that he was resting in his finished work of creation so that we would enter into his rest. That's what the Sabbath is all about, entering into the rest of the Lord, recognizing that God is our creator, that God created all of this, and reflecting on his rest, and even kind of imitating God and joining God in his creation rest. And so the Israelites came from Egypt where they had multiple gods, and they were going to Canaan where there were multiple gods, and God was reminding them that he was the true God. He was the God that created everything. That's why he said in the earlier commandment, don't make any graven image like that which is in the heavens or that which is on earth or that which is under the sea. All those things I created. I am the creator. I am God. You shall have no other gods before me. On this Sabbath day, they were remembering all the things that he had already said about himself and the demands he had already made of them in the first three commandments. He's reminding them that he is their creator and he created all this, and he alone is God and he alone is worthy of worship. And I think we need to reflect on that as well. But that's not the only reason that he caused them to reflect on the Sabbath, or that's not the only thing that he wanted them to remember on the Sabbath as they rested and as they gathered to worship him. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 5, where Moses restates the law, remember Deuteronomy is a restatement of the law of God. He tells them in verse 12, he says, observe the Sabbath day. Instead of remember the Sabbath day, he says, observe it, keep it. That means enter into it. Take it to heart. Do it. And he says, keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter nor your male servant nor your female servant nor your ox nor your donkey nor any of your cattle nor your stranger who is within your gates. That your male servant, he comes back to the servant, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. God cares about everybody, doesn't he? And then he says, here's why I want your slaves, servant there could be slave. He says, here's why I want them to rest. He says, and remember, verse 15, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. He's saying, remember, you were slaves, and I redeemed you. And so the Sabbath was all about honoring God and remembering God, not only as our creator, the one who created everything, but also as their redeemer, the one that brought them out of bondage into freedom and eventually into the land that he had promised them. And I think we have something greater to reflect on. We have something greater to honor than they did, because we think about our Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from sin and from death and from hell and rose from the dead and has given us eternal life. And even Jesus said about his own death, Jesus said that we're to remember him. And Paul said, remember his death until he comes. We do that with the Lord's Supper, but we have to be reminded over and over again. We needed to be reminded of who we are in Jesus Christ and what we have in his redemption. And so I think that we see, even though we may not be under this particular law that the Israelites were under, I think there's a spiritual principle there that we need to take a day and reflect. And we need to do it every day, by the way. Every day we need to reflect on him. But I think there needs to be a day where we come together as a body and we dedicate that to the Lord, worshiping him, reflecting on him, because God knows that we need that. Now, that's kind of the outline of what the Lord was saying to the children of Israel. And there are many other things that he says in the Old Testament. And so the question is, you know, I keep saying that we're not under the law of the Sabbath. So what's the deal with that? What's going on here? Well, let me say, first of all, what Jesus said about the Sabbath. I think it's important to know what Jesus said, don't you? And that was one of the greatest controversies that Jesus had in his ministry with the Pharisees. Because the Pharisees, the Sabbath was so important to them that they thought that they could discredit Jesus. If they could prove that he was a Sabbath breaker, that would silence everybody and Jesus could be just dismissed by the people. And so they would accuse him of breaking the Sabbath because Jesus would do things like heal people on the Sabbath. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus and the disciples were walking through a grain field and the disciples were hungry. And so they took some of the grain and were eating it as they were going through the field. And Jesus was confronted and he was asked by the Pharisees, why are you allowing your disciples to break the Sabbath? And Jesus told them the story from the Old Testament about where David and his men were hungry. And so the priest gave him some of the showbread to eat, and only the priests were allowed to eat the showbread. Because of their need, because of their great need and their need to survive, that was broken and that law was broken, so to speak, for the good of those people. And Jesus said, you need to learn something. And he quoted Hosea, you need to learn that God desires mercy and not sacrifice. The Sabbath, man was not made for the Sabbath, Jesus said, but the Sabbath was made for man. In other words, God always intended the Sabbath to be a blessing, and you have destroyed it with all of your rules and regulations. You see, the Pharisees weren't concerned about people. They were just concerned that all the rules were being kept. And Jesus said, you've got this whole thing backwards. So right after that, he goes into the synagogue, and there's a man there with a withered hand. They see Jesus, the healer. This man, they probably invited this guy to church that day just to trip Jesus up. So they see Jesus and the man with the withered hand. They say, hey, is it right to heal somebody on the Sabbath? And Jesus said, let me ask you a question. He says, if you have a lamb that fell into a ditch on the Sabbath, he says, you'd get that out, right? And he said, sure, certainly it's okay to do good on the Sabbath. And Jesus told the man to stretch out his hand. He stretched out his hand. He was healed. Then in John chapter 5, we see a man. Remember the guy that was laying by the pool of Bethesda, and he was crippled, and he couldn't get in the waters and be healed. And Jesus comes up to him and asks him that question that seems to people to be sort of a no-brainer. But Jesus said, do you will to be made whole? Do you want to be healed? Which I think is really a good question. After working with people and after being a people for all these years, I think that's a good question. Sometimes people really don't want to be. But Jesus says, do you want to be healed? And he tells him to take up his mat and walk. The guy picks up his mat and walk, but guess what? The Pharisee said, you're not allowed to carry anything on the Sabbath. So he's carrying his mat, so they get after him. Finally, he finds out who Jesus is, tells him it's Jesus that healed me. They start to persecute Jesus, and they say, how can you be a man of God? How can this be a man of God when he's telling someone to pick up something on the Sabbath and break the Sabbath? You're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath. And you know what Jesus said to them? Jesus said, my Father has been working until now, and I am working. What he's saying, yes, the work of creation. That's what the Sabbath was honoring mainly, was the work of creation was finished. But now God was doing a new work. He was doing the work of redemption through Jesus Christ. And he was telling them, God is working and he's working through me right now. I'm about to redeem my people through the cross. And so Jesus there was kind of changing things, wasn't he? The Sabbath was instituted to demonstrate that God rested from his work of creation. He was inviting people to enter into this rest. But now Jesus was saying God is working now, and he's working toward redemption. He was signaling a change there, I believe, in John chapter 5 about the Sabbath. And then we come to the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, we find that after the resurrection of Jesus, things had changed. The Gentiles were coming into the church now. They didn't know anything about the Sabbath. And they're getting saved and they're coming into the church. And there's a great controversy. Remember, the Jews didn't think too highly of the Gentiles. I mean, God had to give Peter a vision to go and even witness to the Gentiles. They're prejudiced in a lot of ways. And so when these Gentiles get saved, they have a big meeting. The church, the elders of the church, James and Peter and all of them get together and they have a big meeting in Jerusalem. We refer to it as the Jerusalem Council. And they talked about, what are we going to do with these Gentiles? We see that God is no respecter of persons. And he is indeed doing a work amongst the Gentiles. But what do we tell them to do to be a part of us? And they came up with some things like don't eat, you know, things that are cooked in their own milk and blood and all this stuff. Basically saying don't act like just outright pagans and keep doing all your stinking pagan stuff. They never said anything about the Sabbath. Never. They didn't say teach these people how to obey the Sabbath law. No. And then we go on in Acts and we see in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 in Troas where Paul is there and a church is meeting, and it says the church was meeting. There was a meeting on the first day of the week. That's Sunday. And why did they meet on the first day of the week, you think? Because it was on the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead. In the Sabbath, we honor the old creation. On the first day of the week, we honor the resurrection, which is the new creation in Christ Jesus. And so we come together. The church began to come together to honor Jesus. Things were new. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, we see that the people came together and a collection was being taken for the Jerusalem saints, and that collection was to be gathered on the first day of the week. Why? Because that's when they met together. And the Bible says that John was on the Isle of Patmos and he saw a vision of Christ, but it says he was in the Spirit, and it doesn't say on the Sabbath. It says he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The church started calling Sunday the Lord's Day because that's when the people gather together. Now, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist here, you probably want to argue with me after the service. That's okay. I don't think we have a Seventh-day Adventist here. They wouldn't come to this church. They actually think that meeting on Sunday is the mark of the beast. But anyway, people come up with all kinds of stuff. But we look in church history. We look at the Didache, which is the earliest post-apostolic document that we have, and it talks about the church meeting on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And we look at in church history, and we see Justin Martyr, and we see the church meeting on Sunday. And we even see explanations in historical documents that they did that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you gather on Sunday, do you gather thinking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know, we typically do that on Easter, but you know what I think? I think we ought to honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ every Lord's Day, don't you? That's why we're here. It's the new creation. He did the work of the new creation in his death and his resurrection. It's a done deal. We're just waiting for it to reach its culmination. And so I don't think that we're under the law of Sabbath, but I think that those principles are certainly true. They're eternal principles. We need to draw apart, come together. We need to honor that. We need to honor God. We need to reflect on him. We need it. We need to rest. If you're only working 5 days a week, you need to start working 6 days a week, by the way. No. So you say, well, I don't believe you. Well, let me read you something. This is Paul in Colossians. In Colossians, they were faced with sort of some mystical elements of Greek thought with, along with Judaism. And there was some sort of hybrid heresy that was being introduced to the church, and they were telling people that they had to be, you know, you had to kind of be Jewish a little bit. You had to do some of the law to really be spiritual and to be right with God. And he says in verse 16, so this is 2:16 of Colossians, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or in regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is Christ. Now, there's another spiritual principle. If you really want to know what the Sabbath is, remember, Sabbath is rest. If you really want to know what the Sabbath isn't an it. The Sabbath isn't a day. The Sabbath is a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. Our real rest is in Jesus Christ. He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lonely of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You see, that's the real rest. Rest from the labor of our sin and our works, righteousness, and all these things that make us unacceptable to God. He says, come unto me. I'm the substance. Real rest, eternal rest, is found in me, Jesus Christ. The Sabbath was a shadow. Jesus is the reality. He's the substance. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, playing on the Sabbath imagery, the author of the Hebrews, and you can read this on your own, the author of the Hebrews is encouraging the people, quoting Psalm 95, he's encouraging the people to enter into rest. They're tempted, they're being persecuted, and they're tempted to turn away from the Lord to avoid persecution. And he quotes Psalm 95, where the Lord says to the people during the time of David, this is after the people have already come into the land, after the kingdom has already been established in Canaan land and Israel's been established there. So it's not Canaan rest that he's promising them. But he quotes Psalm 95, which was written way after that, where God is inviting the people to enter into rest. And he says, there remaineth a rest for the people of God. And so the author of Hebrews picks up on that and says, there remains a rest for the people of God. And he's telling these troubled people who are thinking about giving up their faith, he's saying, labor to enter into that rest. Labor to come into that rest, because there remains a rest for the people of God. And he says, those who provoked God when he was inviting them to go into the land, they wouldn't do it. He said, they had the gospel preached to them, but it wasn't mixed with faith. So what he's saying is, hey, you guys come into faith. Come into faith. And when you come into faith, when you trust me, even though things look bad and threatening and all that, when you trust me and you're not looking at your problems, but you're looking at me, he says, when you mix your faith with that promise, he says, then you enter in to the rest of God. You know, I think that's a message for some of us this morning, isn't it? Some of you here today, you've got all kinds of problems. I don't have to have big problems for me to get all out of whack. And God tells me, you gonna trust me and move forward? Or are you going to stay paralyzed by your fears and your anxieties and your worries? And so I think Sabbath is for us in a spiritual sense today, even believers who are troubled and anxious and worried and scared. And he's saying, trust me, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Believe me, I've got you. I'm holding you in the palm of my hand. And what he says he can do. Amen? Amen? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that you'll bless your people, that you'll bless your word, that you'll change our lives, that you'll take control of us. that you'll choke unbelief out of our hearts and help us to rest in you. In Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Amen. We're just going to sing one verse as a to worship the Lord today, just in response to what he said to us today. If you need anything, if you have questions about your salvation, or you have need prayer or anything like that, if you're thinking about joining fellowship with the church or whatever, you can talk to me after the service. You can talk to me sometime during the week. You can call the church office. Be happy to talk to you. Let's stand and worship the Lord.